And welcome to our last and final class in this series, completing a whole cycle of teaching and transformation since January, which I cannot believe. I'm sitting here thinking, oh my God, it's August already. And it's moving so, everything's moving so quickly. So we're settling in.
Sarah, is the August 16th and 17th meeting still going to happen?
No, it's not going to happen. I need some time off. And so it'll get rescheduled at some point. But thank you for asking. I think I have it as to be announced on the website, but if I don't, let me know. I just knew I'd need a little time here. Since I go through my own changes and shifts and releases and transformations, and I've been going through a lot of release and shifting. So I need a little space. And Ananda, I saw your question about my near-death experience and the question about why wasn't my sovereignty respected? And I contemplated that question, as I do all your questions. And first of all, I never even asked myself that. And it never even occurred to me that my sovereignty was disrespected or kind of overturned. I believe that in the deepest sense, it was a teaching of submitting to the divine. Of a part of my being that was throwing a tantrum about being here on earth and ultimately recognizing that it was a divine intention. And I've been learning that lesson for 50 years. And it's been a great lesson in humility. Is that helpful for you?
Well, like I said, I've not really gotten into NDEs, but I've listened to maybe a couple, and on the one, just when she very clearly said, I'm tired. I don't want to go back. And that her decision was respected. No one tried to talk her out of it or nudge or push. And she did end up coming back, but it was because she was presented with a intriguing question or challenge that caught her interest. And so because she got intrigued by that, she decided, okay, yes, I will go back because I want to experience this or go deeper into it. But it just, I just recall her that there was, when she said no, there was absolutely no pressure. It's like, this is your, completely your decision. So it just shocked me. Because it just sounded like yeah, you just, I don't know, be tossed around instead of controlling or deciding what you wanted to do.
The greatest experience of the NDE was the immersion in the divine love. And so I was given that gift and experienced it fully. And I do have to say to everyone, when someone says that they've had a near-death experience and that they have experienced an overwhelming universal love that is beyond the earth, they really do experience that. And so when I am referring and saying, I love you, I am coming from that place of such immense beyond the earth love. And I just want you to remember that when you hear of someone's near-death experience and they say that they experience the most incredible love that you could ever experience. And so that was my most profound takeaway and gift from that experience. And I believe that it was a very childish part of me that was throwing the tantrum. And that I needed to learn how to grow up. So I never felt like I was disrespected. I felt like I was being taught.
Sarah, why was it a childish tantrum to want to remain in the light realms?
Because my teaching was to learn how to live in those realms while embodied. So if I had skipped out on this lifetime and attaining that goal, which I have attained, I would have had to come back anyhow at some point. It was it's like when I watch my grandchildren throwing a tantrum, they know they're not going to win. They have like a they look out of the side of their eye to see if I'm buying it or if their mother is buying it. And so there's a part of us that knows when we throw a tantrum that we know better, but we're still trying to get away with it. So that to me felt more like what I was doing than being disrespected. It was putting me in touch with something greater that a more immature part of me didn't want to accept.
Well, from a selfish perspective, I'm glad you came back.
Ah, thank you. I'm glad I did too.
And
Yeah,
just the impact that you're having is just profound. And so I'm glad that you are learning the lesson.
thank you. I'm still learning it. Always the student and always learning the lesson of humility and receptivity and non-resistance. I think I came in with a very strong resistant part of myself. I'm an Aries rising, which Aries can be pretty strong in resisting things. So I had to learn how to modulate that part of my soul choice for this lifetime. Some Aries rising with Virgo sun and Sag moon. So I have a lot of fire and earth that have to be, very little water and air in my chart. So I have two kind of opposing elements that always have to learn how to be balanced between each other. And so, I chose that for this lifetime, and I was being helped to fulfill what I had chosen. And to be able to live with that experience of love in my being has carried me through all that I was tantruming about. Did I mention the subsequent shared near-death experiences? I don't remember if I said that in the class last time. Did I share that?
You
No.
brought that up, but I think you brought up a near death and several shared deaths, but I don't even
Yeah.
know what a shared death experience is. I was going to look it up and I forgot to do that.
Okay. So I think I mentioned it, but I'll mention it again briefly. So a shared death experience is when you accompany someone on their journey until they go on to pass over and you come back, but you get to come into that space of pure love. So when my friend when we were in New York visiting my childhood friend, and a friend back here was dying, and in the middle of the night she came and got me, and I left my body with her and went all the way to the place of that perfection of love and divine love. It was such a gift. And she said to me, God wanted to give you a hug, and you're going to go back, and I'm going to go on. So, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. And also, when my Sufi teacher died, he was in California, I was in Ohio, and I knew he was ill, and I knew it was imminent. The other person, I didn't know that she was imminent and that she was going to die, but I knew he was close. And I had this urge to go outside and sit in my backyard. At about 11 o'clock at night, and I'm sitting there, and every blade of grass, every flower, every tree lit up as if they were like fairies dancing around, and the whole earth turned into dancing lights. And it was an incredibly ecstatic experience. And after about 25 minutes, I came in the house and the phone rang, and I got the call that he had passed. And so that was another type of shared death experience. And then another one actually was when my uncle, my dad's brother, was dying. We were in California. He was in Pittsburgh. We knew he was ill. And in the middle of the night at 3 o'clock, he came to me and directly came to me, gave me this huge hug. And he said, Sarah, you're right. Now, you have to understand that my father and my uncle were both, Russell, you'll appreciate this, were brilliant engineers. and didn't believe in any of this stuff. My dad used to call me a phony. And so my uncle came to me and took me into that great love through a big hug that he gave me and confirmed that now that he had passed over, that he confirmed my spiritual nature. So, yeah, I've had many of these kinds of experiences, but my own near-death experience gave me the gift of of my being permeated with that universal love that is beyond our understanding. And so I was given that gift in order to be sustained by it for whatever I was going to have to go through in life. And still, I had that childish part of me that just was throwing a tantrum. I mean, we have that part of us that's always ready to throw a tantrum. And we just spent a week with our four grandkids, and I think, well, three girls and one boy. And I don't think there was one second where one of the girls wasn't whining and throwing a tantrum. They just rotated among themselves. But, we have that part of us that wants to resist or doesn't understand once we come into a human body what it is that we've agreed to and where we're going to grow to. It's really coming in at a low frequency time in the cycles makes it very difficult to be embodied. And so I consider that a tremendous gift. Now, I also remember and have a continuity from before I was born with my light community. And I've kept that link since I was born. And as a child, every night I would shift over and return. And so I've had that blessing too. And my hope is that at some point everyone can remember their light community. And I just say that in a general sense, not trying to identify a star system or a place or a dimension, but it's a place where you know that everything's coherent and in harmony, and there's a communication of perfection that you know was your source. So, I've been a mystic since I was born. And I would say that all of you have been too. It just maybe you haven't remembered it all. And hopefully you'll be able to. But the fact that you have a yearning to connect, and even if that yearning is painful, it's a delicious pain because you're aiming for the fulfillment of your soul here in a body. And it's a gift to have that yearning. If you didn't have it, you'd be like inert. Life would be flat, and you'd have a very hard time finding meaning in your life. And so, having that yearning as possessive as it is of our soul is a gift. It means some, the love and light are awakened in your being, and searching for that connection to bring it to life in an embodied form. So, what else can I answer about that, or if you have a comment about your own sense of that.
Sarah, I just the fact that you have this yearning, that you were able to realize your soul's deepest desire, the fact that yes, you were there back where you belonged in this field of love. I just don't see that not wanting to leave that was so bad. I mean, I keep wincing when you use the word tantrum, because it's like, well, of course. Of course you wanted to stay there.
Yeah, it's like wanting to crawl back into your mom's womb, and yes, you want to be in that state, and there's your soul is always guiding you towards some kind of growth and some kind of evolution. And if you can, one of the things I wanted to bring up tonight, and this segues into it, Ananda, is, and I've asked this question before. Now, last week we had this empowerment of the direct transmission. And along with that comes the question, how would you live your life in order to maintain that connection to the direct transmission? Is that a question that makes sense? This is for everyone. Can you see, can you feel, can you sense how if your soul is directing you to be continually guided by the high frequency of your light being, your nature, how does that guide what you allow yourself to think, feel, and how to make choices in your life? And so in my life, I've never wanted to lose contact with my original light family. And so even when I was a little child, I was aware of living and doing things that kept me connected. I wasn't constantly connected, but it was always there in the background. It was like, well, if I do this, is that gonna like close off that connection? Or if I do this, will it help keep me connected to the light? And there were times when I was just angry at life because it was so hard to keep that connection sometimes. But it was how I chose to live my life. It guided me. It created my ethics. It created my choices. And many times those choices were not the most popular choices. And many times there were a lot of criticism about the choices, and there still is. People still criticize me for the choices I make. But that's my through line. That's my compass. And so my question to everyone here is to contemplate, to sense What choices, what thoughts, what feelings allow you to come closer to that sense of lightness or coherence or whatever it is, however you feel it, and what takes you away from it, no matter how difficult the choice is.
This is Penny. It would become my only reality. This is what would drive me. This is what I would live for. My connection to Source.
Can you sense how that's been in the background of your life throughout?
Always, yes.
And so we're bringing it to the foreground more now.
Yes, it's becoming apparent and real.
This is Ken. For Sarah, can you adjust your mic just a little? You're getting a little wavering.
Oh, okay. Is that
Maybe
any
if I
better? Is that better, Ken?
try it again.
Oh,
I think
does
so.
this? Okay. I wonder what that is. Okay.
And I think that when what I need to do is to realize that in every moment, to see the love and the beauty and everything around me at every moment. And when I do that, I can stay connected. I can be in the light and make good decisions. So even to see the beauty and love and all the distractions. That's it.
And I do want to say something about that too. I don't turn a blind eye to the different layers of humanity that disconnect or have more clouds over the light. In other words, I see people in their true nature, but I also see their disconnected nature as well. So that, and Marianne's not here today. I always kid her about wearing rose-colored glasses. I mean, we need to be really grounded and aware of all the energies that are influencing us. And have a very strong core to return to. And that core is your light and your beauty and the love. But you don't want to be blindsided by not seeing what's really happening. So that's why I use the term heavy energy. Because heavy energy has less of a judgment on it, and it is what clouds us and creates inharmony in our field and in our body. And there is, even just by being human, there's a drop down from perfection that we need to accept. And so we can accept and align with our higher being, which is really becoming embodied in people now. I mean, that's what we've been doing. We're clearing the path for that higher nature to become embodied and live from there. And we also need to be able to see what's clouding or obstructing the channels for that higher nature to live through us.
Sarah, I think my question is how do we know we're making choices that align with, forgot what the terminology was now, love, our highest good? I mean, you kind of were taught this because you had your light family and you could see if they were drawing more near or farther away. I don't have anything like that. I feel like I'm just kind of wailing around with floppy arms and legs.
And that's a good question, and that's what we've been doing. So my approach to that, which is the synthesis, what I teach is a synthesis of Qigong teachings, shamanic teachings, and Sufi mystical teachings. And it boils down to the essence of that is connecting with Mother Earth and Father Sun as the first expansion and connection to truth and light and love. And that has been what has been obscured from us through this dark period of the cycle of humanity for the last 5 to 6,000 years. And that the planet is moving towards a higher frequency. That's why many more people are involved in spirituality now, and also why there's so much disintegration and chaos going on. And so there is the practice. Every time you relax your body, you come closer to that light. You come closer to ease. You come closer to flexibility and alignment with yourself. If we cannot relax, heavy energy blocks everything. And there is physical relaxation, and then there's what the Sufi teachers have called mystical relaxation. And the mystical relaxation is when you have the energies from the elements balanced in you, the energy from Mother Earth and Father Sun circulating through you, so that your mind, emotions, and body can come into coherence and come into a relaxed ease. And everyone wants to skip over that step. Every single person wants to skip over it. And if you were around when I was, like in the 70s, when a lot of the spiritual stuff was starting to awaken, the primary practice people were doing was progressive relaxation. Right, Ananda? I mean, you remember that, Fran, you probably remember it. That was like the breakthrough practice, because people had to learn how to relax. And it's still a fundamental practice. And so, mastering what your relaxed state is, shifting over from fight flight into a relaxed state, is always the first practice. And you can't skip over it. You'll try with your mind to reach a state, but the lack of coherence will drag you back. It won't allow you to go there. And so that is the primary practice. So you come into relationship with your body, and you notice what's tense, and you learn how to invite it to relax. And that's a relationship that you're developing with yourself. Now, why don't we have that naturally? Because we've been conditioned to separate from our body, to separate our soul from our body. And I really believe that that is the major hump for Western materialist people to get over. Once you get over that, once you master how to relax in a deep way, everything else flows smoothly from that. And we are being tested tremendously right now, because there is just nothing relaxed out there unless you're in nature, because of the general conditions of the consciousness of humanity. So, I find that coming back into my body and breathing. I do yoga every day and Qigong every day for myself. And I love the feeling of coming in contact and connection with Mother Earth and releasing my small concept of myself into a much larger, more vibrant sense of self that comes from that. And once I do that, I come into a state that is coherent and can naturally follow the spiral of expansion with very little resistance. And there is a natural unfolding. There's waves of unfolding that relate to sacred geometry, that relate to the elements, that relate to the cycles of consciousness and the dimensions of consciousness. It will naturally unfold the more deeply you can trust your relaxation. And I don't think that's a small step. I think it's a huge step for the Western mind. And yet you can't skip over it. So that's the very first practice.
Thank you.
So let me ask you one other thing, Noelle. Do you have that yearning, that sense that there's that light down there at the end of the tunnel that you're aching for?
Yes.
Okay, so that's your connection. By default, or by backing into it, the fact that you can feel that and sense that there's something there just beyond that veil means that you still have a connection to it.
And yet the yearning for it actually pushes me farther away.
Until you learn how to relax.
Exactly. Get it now. I know that was probably elementary for some who've been with you for a long time, but I really needed to hear it in that way.
Yes,
Really appreciate
yes.
breaking it down back to the basics.
Yes. And
Sarah,
there's
I
a,
would chime in
okay.
with Noelle's question. Just you describe having a very clear sense of I'm connected. I don't ever not want to be connected. This is where I want to live from. And you have a very clear sense of that. Okay. For those of us that don't yet have the discernment of, it's not so clear. Am I connected or not? That's where things get quite fuzzy.
Yes. I know you have experienced unbelievable transcendent experiences, Ananda, of love and light and higher consciousness through your practices. And so the question becomes, can you feel when that bicep gets tense? Can you feel when the lower back is tense? Can you feel when the coccyx is tight? It's literally at that level. And the places I named are pretty common places where we hold tension. I know this seems elementary, but it gets skipped over. And we do hold a lot of trauma in our bodies from our personal experience and from the cultural milieu. And there is fear embedded in that, excuse me, and knocks us out. And so that interoception and they talk a lot about this. A lot of people are talking about it, on YouTube and the vagus nerve and trauma loops. And so these very small increments of sensing, is that shoulder being held up and ready to drop? And can it drop? Those movements are huge. And those are the only things blocking you. And no one wants to believe that. It's really, we want to skip over it, but it's really important.
Hey, Sarah, it's Russell. What I find is if I get triggered by something, like I find myself agitated in traffic or just really frustrated over something that's seemingly really silly, I'm like, wait a minute, something's going on here. And then that's kind of my cue to drop into my body and then sort of feel my legs are really tight, or my shoulders are up by my ears, or something like that. And so for me, it's the response or the reaction I'm having to the heavy energy or to life around me, which then cues me into like, hey, wait, this is not how I want to be operating or how my base state is operating. So then that's when I drop in and feel into it, and then that gives me the opportunity to start the relaxation and start that reconnection. And sometimes if it's a small thing, it only takes a minute or two to do that. And sometimes if it's a bigger thing, I might sit for longer, but to me, it's that aggravation or that frustration or that thing that you're like, blah, 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 when you're just kind of like, huh, why is that happening?
Yeah, that's exactly how it happens. And I sure don't want to be in front of you in traffic.
No, you
But yeah, that's how it happens. It's being able to just notice what's happening and tensing and where you're responding from in the moment. And it we have to learn how to not react in shame, but just respond and shift so that we don't get caught in a shame spiral of, oh, I must be so horrible that I was swearing at that guy in front of me in the car. You know, we don't need to go there. The most important thing is to shift. But there is a lot of shame and confusion and doubt in our beings about ourselves, and we can go into those spirals when all we need to do is self-correct. And I'm not saying only have to self-correct, but because it's a big deal. Self-correcting is hard in this culture. If
Yeah,
you
I think
have,
that's, oh, go
yeah,
ahead.
go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, I just, that's something I've learned recently. Like, I don't know, maybe in the last 3 or 4 months, but it's been beautiful because I used to beat myself up and be like, oh, I'm the horrible person. And now I can, it's just something, it's just information that I get. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, something's off. And I find myself being so much less judgmental of myself and just being like, okay, well, this is my opportunity to pause and check in. That's been a huge, wonderful shift. I didn't even realize it until you said it.
That's wonderful. If you've ever mastered something, you know, any kind of mastery of a subject in your life where you've taken it to a masterful level. So when I was in art school, you know, we had to sit through critiques of our work that were pretty brutal, but they were always instructive. And I had to learn how to take correction. And then when I studied with masters, I had to learn how to take correction in an even more subtle way. And as the planet is ascending and opening up to these new energies, that those shame spirals are getting fewer and fewer. It's getting easier to self-correct if you allow it for yourself. But that's something to take a look at in yourself. Are you willing to self-correct or be corrected by your higher being? And that's what I consider to be an adult. That is one of the qualities of maturing into an adult. Is being able to adapt to correction and allow finer and finer corrections to guide your attunement. Mean, I remember early on sitting in front of my teacher, and oh my God, I think I even ran out of there crying one time because I couldn't stand the shame of the difference between what his consciousness felt like and what mine felt like. And it that's how you learn when you're sitting with a master is like can you allow yourself to attune to their consciousness so that it is transmitted to your consciousness and it's a new reference point for you and a new frequency for you. But early on, oh my God, it was like torture, because there was so much shame involved in feeling so self-critical that it was difficult every time I had to walk into a room with him and sit with him. But that's what's happening. And when we connect with Mother Earth and Father Sun or Sky, we are receiving that higher attunement and learning to allow that ourselves to ease into that without interrupting it by being distracted by our self-criticism is really a challenge. It's something that Western people need to learn how to do. I mean, a Western materialistic culture. It's probably universal materialistic culture now around the whole planet, but it's of the Western mind. Now, Kim, I'm looking at your picture, and I remember you used to run out of the room crying. That feeling long time ago. Yeah, I'll share something that has been happening for me for the last couple of weeks. As I was sitting in my stream and sinking into a deeper meditation, I was shown a vision of a part of me, a little child hiding in a corner of a room in fear. And it was a surprise to me, like my conscious mind had not known about this child. My body and being did. I could tell that. I could tell that I could resonate with who I was seeing there, that part of me that was this little child sitting in that corner hiding in fear. And this is to show you that, I mean, this just keeps going on and on. You just never end up, you never end up end the learning and revealing. Yeah, my first impulse was, well, how do I fix her? How do I get her out of that corner? And then I backed off from that. And then I said to myself, okay, I was shown this, and I'm going to trust that because I've now seen this, that something will unfold from this, that my small mind can't control this. And so for a few days, I kind of kept ch checking in on her, but she was shifting. So something was moving, like an embryo was coming alive. And after maybe about a week, I started feeling in me this energy activating on the right side of my body. It was definitely on the right hand side of my body. And it was pretty scary to me. It was very strong. It was very light. And it was powerful. And it was scary. So I thought, okay, I have to like start breathing through this. And then for another week, I was in a very uncomfortable place. Like, what's gonna come out here? It's so strong and I could feel resistance to it. I had no idea what was coming through. All I knew was it was kind of on the right side. It related to this little girl in the corner, and something was growing and activating. And the resistance was really strong and it was really uncomfortable. I mean, I haven't been that uncomfortable with a shift probably in 30 years. It was big for me. And, as I kind of breathed through this discomfort, what finally emerged, to my surprise, was the realization that I no longer could put other people's needs in front of my own, that I needed to respect my own needs and wishes and feelings, and not, we would call it a kind of a type of codependency in psychological language, but to pull back entirely from paying attention to anyone else's needs and spend time paying attention to my own needs. And then I was able to give words and identify some needs that I had not recognized in myself for all these years, taking 74 years to recognize some of these needs. And the power, the strength of the energy turned into clarity. So it was no longer scary because when the clarity came and the words came with it, I really was able to settle into it in a way that was so grounded and felt so good. And it was a perfect example of starting out with a vision and then allowing the vision to grow within me without interfering with it, to be aware of the resistance, to connect to it in any way that I knew how to connect to it, even though I didn't have the clarity, and to trust that I had the support within me and around me to allow this little girl fragment to come out of that corner and look at what she turned into. So that is the type of transformational journey that we're working with here. We can have deep spiritual experiences, but if we ultimately want to have them transform our embodied, living, physical being. In the process, I did get an ear infection. a double ear infection. Two, you know me, I get a physical sickness or something when I go through a transformation. But the whole thing was very uncomfortable. But now that it came into full light, I'm so happy that I'm just settled in it and have healed something that I wasn't aware of. Is that helpful at all for anyone?
Yeah, this is Tracy. Hi, Sarah.
Hi.
Yeah, it makes me think of my own journey in a way because I know that there's a part of me that's been very frightful about stepping into my path or stepping forward with like my own soul's calling and what I'm supposed to do. And I agree with you. There's times where I just like, well, how could I fix her? How could, you know, and it's like, I think that story was really helpful because it makes me open up to your experience that, you know, not to really think so much about the fixing, but maybe be shown more, you know, when you're receptive to it, how to work with it differently, maybe.
I had to let it live through my body, and that was hard. I didn't sleep for I probably had 2 or 3 hours sleep for about 3 weeks. Too. That wasn't fun either. So it's
Sounds like a lot of trusting on your part then too.
yeah. How am I going to get through the day here with no sleep? So we're in the process of making this really strong connection between our higher being, our light being, and our physical being, and learning how to let that higher guidance, which we usually attribute to, you know, beings that are greater than us, you know, to God, to angels, to whoever we attribute it to. But really, it's ourselves, it's our own consciousness. And we need to realize that it is our own consciousness. Otherwise, it keeps it separate from us. Like, how do I let an angel run my being? You know, if it's my own consciousness that I'm allowing in and listening to, that's a totally different empowerment than believing that I'm receiving that guidance from someone more perfect than myself. There are beings that have incredible perfection in them. I'm not saying there aren't, but each of our beings is connected to that perfection. And we are in this process of clearing the space within us for that higher being to reside and take up space within us. And it's not necessarily instantaneous. You know, it's a process most of the time. There's leaps and fun jumps, but a lot of it is you know, a process that follows the cycles of the year, the moon, the solstices, the equinoxes, the cycles of the planets. We are subject to all of that. And there are times when breakthroughs can happen when we're supported by the greater energies. And right now, the solar energies, the way they're hitting the planet, are changing us by the second. And so we're being supported, and you have to get used to like shifting constantly. Our DNA is changing, our physicality is changing, our consciousness is changing. And of course, we're going to have resistance to that. And to be kind to yourself as these shifts occur. Like I said, if the solar emissions can create volcanoes and earthquakes, they're doing that to your body and your consciousness too. So you've received a tremendous amount of download and transmission and empowerments over since January. And over the next month, while we have this break, it's time, it gives you time to integrate, to review. I would really read the summaries of the classes that you have. They really carry a lot of energy, and if you go back to them, all the ones that you've attended, and let the teachings be remind you of what you received while you're in this integration process. That would be very helpful for you. It's been a surge since January, and there's this pause time now, and allow yourself to breathe and integrate. And be gentle and kind without pushing on yourself, but ground and allow Mother Earth and Father Sun to take care of you. And you're finding your own power, your own alignment. And the vision I have for whoever comes back in September is that the sacred circle will be shifting into a higher frequency. And I've been using the word synergistic in my thought process about this. And I've mentioned before that the sacred circle is like a flower, like a tree. It breathes, it grows, it's full of life. That's why the flower of life is a symbol. And what I'm seeing is when we reconvene in September, that the circle is going to be greatly empowered by how each of you integrates. Whether you pay attention to it or not, you're going to integrate. And we're going to come to a new synergistic type of breath in the sacred circle. And each person will start realizing how integral they are in their position in the sacred circle. And there is a deep fulfillment in that, a deep self-respect that develops as a result of that. And so we're really creating a living, breathing model that's synergistic of collective consciousness in an embodied state. And when I say embodied, it's not just the physical body, it's the multiple dimensions that the physical body is part of, because the physical body is multidimensional. It has the consciousness of that. It's a collective consciousness unto itself. And so that is all going to really burst open when we come back in September. And I would recommend a lot of resting, a lot of being in nature. Dancing, having fun a bit. Allowing yourself to really learn how to relax. Moment by moment. Traffic irritation by traffic irritation. There. I don't know if you can feel it, but everyone's hearts are pretty beaming right now. What else is coming through for you?
Sarah, it's Kim.
Mm-hmm.
This relates back to when you were talking and sharing about the little girl.
Mm-hmm.
And I have found, for the last 3 weeks, that I also have been experiencing sort of this, it's not an upheaval, but it is, the child parts of me are showing up a little bit more. And working with that, and right now I have an altar that has photographs of when I was a little kid and my family and such, and honoring that part of me or parts. And I also wanted to say that you had me do an exercise. It was like late last year. We were in a private session, and I think I was approaching my life around like what I wanted, and it was coming from more of like a headspace. And I was really profoundly impacted by your suggestion, and it was to write down your needs. And it really never had dawned on me to do that. And I filled a lot of journal pages with what I needed. And not what I wanted, but what I needed. And I think there's a distinction there. And I was surprised at how much was coming out of me. And some of the stuff was repeat stuff, but just said a little differently. And and then I let that go. I haven't looked at that, or I recently did look at it, but I let that go basically. And I'm so thankful that I did that, because it took a lot of what was being suppressed, what I suppressed, or the old paradigm felt like it was depressing, compressing into my being. It took that weight out, and it was like taking a white sheet and just flapping it in the wind, and like airing it all out, and then putting it up on a clothesline and just letting the breeze move it. And I'm just thankful that you had me do that. There's a lot of transition in my life right now, and And I did see a vision of a little girl recently, maybe 9 years old, something like that. And she had a Christmas tree inside of her. And I've had the vision of a Christmas tree before, and it was huge, but there were no lights on it. And this little girl had a beautiful Christmas tree in her, and there's lights and there's ornaments. And it's really sweet. So, yeah.
And also, how's your father doing?
He's towards the end for sure. Not a lot of change. I'm going there on Thursday to be with him.
Yeah, there's a lot that happens with us when we have a parent that,
That's passing,
right, the
right?
transition. So, a lot of it,
Yeah. If you can say anything more, please do.
it's
Or maybe that's for a private, but
well, no, it well,
yeah.
I mean, in a general sense, there is a constellation that occurs when we're born into a family. And that constellation is patterns our being.
Honey, there's a hummingbird right outside my window as you're talking.
Oh,
Oh.
hi, hummingbird. And when your parents pass over, that constellation dissolves. And so there is that opportunity for so much more to reconfigure in you. And it's definitely a process. So
I
you
feel that as you're saying that. I feel like I got taller.
So you're going through that. And then they become guardians and sources of love on the other side. That's definitely a passage for you and him.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to be there for him. When he goes.
A lot of times they make sure you're not there. But you'll know it either way. It's not that he'll need you. He'll have his ancestors and loved ones there to greet him.
And I have that sense of that already.
And so he'll be well guided and received.
Thank you.
If I could interject, just because when I worked hospice, I saw this so often, that family members would be by the bedside for days and finally go home, and that's when the person would pass. And we just used to tell them it's hard to leave loved ones. And sometimes having a loved one at the bedside is acting like an anchor. That makes it harder for the soul to leave. So it's not a loss. It's just a letting go to not be there.
Thank you, Ananda. Ooh, I like your picture, by the way.
I do too.
Wow, I'm so glad you put it on there. Beautiful.
I Anyone respond else? To pressure from Sarah.
I like seeing everyone's pictures.
I do too.
Okay, anything else coming up for anyone? So I will leave this class up, and please feel free to keep posting and check back with the posts every so often to see what's going on, because the posts are put you in the light and the consciousness of the class. And you know, you can just post what's going on for you, and it'll be a support. Picture it, putting it into a beam that'll shine light on it. And if you need light, ask for light on the page. Trying to think if there's anything else.
Sarah, the August 16th and 17th is still listed on the calendar.
Okay, I will shift that. Thank you. I sure hope I'm done with all this stuff on the tech side. I know I changed it somewhere, but who knows where, but I will change it. It just wasn't the right timing. It was, but then things shifted. So we'll see where that's going to land. I'm trying to think. There was one other topic I wanted to cover for a mini session. So I not during this period in August, but a little later, I'm going to have a mini session on trauma loops. And being able to recognize when we're in a trauma loop and how to allow that to dissipate. That came to me recently. So when we're in trauma loops, that's when the same thoughts, the same approach to everything, it's always the same. The new freshness, new inspiration isn't coming through, and we're stuck in a loop. And learning to recognize that kind of loop, which is so subtle sometimes. It can be so subtle. Like I didn't know I was in that trauma loop with the little girl inside me. That had to be brought to my attention in a deeper way. But there's no, we're always going to come up with the same old if we're in a trauma loop. And learning how to breathe into allowing these energies, no matter how scary it is, to come in is something we really need to become proficient at, just because so much is changing so fast. And trauma, the impulse is to move beyond trauma now. The wave of unfolding. And you can't think your way out of that. It's a combination of your inner awareness and the higher frequencies meeting within you to create a shift. Okay. Anything else? Okay, my friends. So let's see what happens over the next month until we meet again. And use the comment section to stay connected if you like. I'm notified when something's written on there. And I will try to get everything straightened out, tech-wise. For me, I just wish everything was telepathic and I could just let go of ever all that stuff. But it's quite an exercise in being grounded and expanded at the same time, to try to keep the stuff straight and it has not been cooperating. So I have my tech guy coming over next Monday who's going to go over everything on every computer and device I have and try to get everything all lined up. So we'll see what happens. Okay. So keep me in the light with the tech stuff, please. Okay. Many blessings. And when I say I love you, I'm saying it from the most divine love you can imagine. So I love you. Many blessings.